Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we've often prayed that little prayer, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. And that is based, of course, on what our Lord had said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. So you can see that these two virtues are very, very important to our Lord. As far as I know, that's the only time he specifically identified two specific virtues that he wants us to follow him, that he wants us to follow like he practiced them. So that's why we have that beautiful prayer. I believe we see the idea of meekness and humility in today's epistle and gospel. We see the meekness in the epistle and we see humility in the gospel. What is meekness? Meekness is suppressing that emotion of anger that we perhaps often feel. The cholerics more so than others. But we all have experienced this where we have gotten a hurt or an offense and we're angry with the person that has done it to us. And the greater the offense, the greater the hurt, the more anger we may feel. We have to remember that anger is actually one of the natural emotions that we have. It's not evil in itself to feel anger. For the same reason, it's not evil to feel in itself to feel joy, sorrow, hope, despair, love, hate. These are emotions that are in the body. But what we have to do is make the right choices about these emotions. Our emotions can get us into a lot of trouble. But if we manage them properly, we don't give in to them sinfully, we are practicing virtue. We're growing in virtue. Even our Lord had emotions. In him, they were perfectly regulated, of course. So how is it that anger is not essentially sinful? Well, in another place in St. Paul's epistles, he says, be angry and sin not. In other words, you're going to feel it at times. Manage it properly. Don't go do something sinful with that anger. He also says a little bit later on, do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't keep feeding in anger. So we are being exhorted to go against our anger, to suppress it so it doesn't get us into sinful trouble. It's not going to be easy. And I see meekness go hand in hand with forgiveness. And we are taught as Christians to forgive even the greatest offenses. Even if somebody were to take our life, we would be exhorted to forgive that person. What's the example we're given? Our Lord on the cross, as he was being killed by his enemies, his very first words on the cross are, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was showing us that example of not to take vengeance ourselves. God will take care of that. And he was praying for forgiveness. Saint Stephen, as he's being stoned, he's the first martyr of the church. He's saying, Lord Jesus, please forgive them. What an example of heroic meekness, not hating and being angered by those that were taking his life, but saying, I forgive you. Forgiving somebody else is one of the most divine things we can possibly do. That's right. Because God forgives all the time. Think of all the sins that are committed against God on a daily basis. And you know, every time a person says to God, I'm sorry, I repent, the forgiveness is there. No matter how great the sin, as long as it's repented of. I remember a saying from C.S. Lewis. He says words to the effect that forgiveness is forgiving the inexcusable. The things that should in no way have ever happened. He says, why? Because God has forgiven us the inexcusable. And we will always find that as we practice forgiveness, it's in the Our Father, by the way, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we practice that, we receive forgiveness more from God. The more we can forgive, and we're doing that divine thing, and we are returning good for evil. We want to fight them back with the same evil that they gave to us. You know, what's one of those sayings? Don't get mad, get even. That's not the gospel. The gospel says, return good for evil. He says, and when you do this, you're heaping coals upon their head. What an interesting analogy or simile to make. You're heaping coals on somebody's head when they have wronged you, and you do something good in return to them. You know, often it takes their breath away because they were expecting you to fight them back. They know they're doing wrong. And then you'd do something good. You know, it resolves often things in a way that was not expected, because again, the fighting, the getting back at each other, the vengeance, the revenge, that's expected. And then somebody does something good and says, I forgive you. Wow. What a way to change the world. What about humility? We see it in today's gospel because we hear those words, which actually we hear in every single Mass. Domine non sum dignus ut intres subtectum meam, sed tantum dic verbo et sanabitur anima mea. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but say the word and my soul shall be healed. We hear those words in the Mass just before the priest receives his Holy Communion. He needs to make that act of saying, Lord, I am not worthy of this infinite gift. But if you say the word, you'll heal my soul of its sins, its faults, its pride, its failings. And then the priest says it before your Holy Communion, reminding us that humility is so pleasing to God. We have to humble ourselves. And pride insinuates itself in so many ways into our way of living. And we have to combat this. It's hard to even see with the pride that gets into our daily actions. So we have to make those acts of humility. And especially when we are about to receive Him whom the heavens and earth cannot contain, we have to say, make that act of humility. No wonder we kneel, not just in adoration, but in humility before we receive our Lord and God. I know our Lord doesn't mention the humility of the centurion, but I certainly think He was pleased by it. He says, go thy way, your servant is healed because of your faith. But I think, too, that humility that the centurion showed, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. You see, humility is also tied in with obedience. Humility is tied in with respecting authority. And this centurion, who recognizes he's way below Jesus, he's also above others. He says, I am a man of authority. If I say to somebody, go and do it, they do it. So there is that principle of authority in his life, but he's recognizing there's higher authority. You know, we just had a lawfully elected president put into office, and look at how many people just are in a state of rebellion against that. We have to respect authority. All authority is from God, St. Paul says. And when we submit to authority in the way that we should, to God ultimately in everything, to the church when she teaches us in faith and morals, when the government gives us a lawful command in a temporal matter, when we respect that, we are honoring the very structure and hierarchy of all creation. Children honoring and obeying their parents. And the way to be respected is to give respect. What goes around comes around, as we've heard so often. So anyway, just wanted to share these thoughts with you to help you in your prayer. As we say that prayer, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, let us pray for that grace to manage that anger. There will be hurts. In this imperfect world, there are hurts. But we have to practice forgiveness. We have to try to return evil for good for evil. And that is always practicing humility, or rather meekness. And then when we make those acts of humility, acts of obedience, we are certainly fulfilling that, or striving for that virtue of humility. These two virtues, again, so dear to the heart of Christ that he would say, learn of me in this way. And also so near and dear to our Holy Mother Mary, she who as a human is the perfect expression of humility and obedience to Almighty God, recognizing her role. So ask her to help you also with practicing these virtues. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.